Bring our energies in. I'd like you to remind yourself why you came in the first place. Remind yourself why you got up and came over here. Please, please remind yourself why you got up and came over here. What was it? What was it that you wanted? What is it that you want by being here? What is it that you want? What do you want? Why did you come? Why did you come? Why did you come today? I'm grateful that you're here, but why did you come? Why did you come? What did you come here for? What do you want out of this class? What do you want out of the course? What do you want? Why did you come? What is your purpose for being here? Why did you bother to show up? Did you come here to give? Or did you come here to get? Did you come here to give? Or did you come here to get? So ask yourself, what do I want? Why am I here? I'm here because I want total fulfillment. I'm here because I want peace. Okay. We're going to be on Roman numeral 13 in the preface. Actually, I'm going to start at the bottom of Roman numeral 12. Because I've been going through the section about what the course says. At the bottom of page 12 in the preface, it says, the opposite of seeing through the body's eyes, the opposite of seeing through the body's eyes is the vision of Christ, which reflects strength rather than weakness, unity rather than separation, and love rather than fear. So there's an opposite way of seeing besides the way that we see through our bodies. There's another way of seeing other than the way we see through our bodies. And when we use the other way of seeing, it says you will see strength, love, and unity. Okay. But it also said that's the opposite of the way you see it when you use the eyes of your body. Did y'all catch that little trick on that? And it's like it says, because see, I'll immediately go, what? I don't see that. And then it says, well, yeah, it's the opposite of the way you see through the body. So in the body, you'll see, if you look out through your body, he says you'll see signs of weakness, separation, and fear. So here's a question I'd like to offer to the group. In your perception, do you see any separation, weakness, or fear?
Yes.
And let me ask you again, are you using your body? Okay, so the course is absolute. Okay, so we can pretty much, that was the truth then, right? Right?
Yeah.
Okay. But it turned around and it says, but there's another way of seeing other than the way you're seeing through your body. There's another way of seeing other than the way that you see in your body. And that way of seeing, he says, makes you feel unity, love, and strength. Is there anybody in the class that's interested in seeing that way? Okay, so when you're seeing with unity, and when you're seeing with love, and when you're seeing with strength, that's Christ's vision. says the opposite of hearing through the body's ears is communication. Isn't that a great? That's awesome. It says the opposite of hearing through your ears is communication through the voice for God, the Holy Spirit, which abides in us. So the voice for God that is in you, that is what the course means when it says go to the Holy Spirit. When it says go to the Holy Spirit, it's saying go to the voice for God in you. I'm going to give it over to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to give it over to the voice for love in me. I'm going to give it over to the voice for peace in me. That's what it means when you say, I'm going to listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm going to listen to the voice of peace in me. I'm going to listen to the voice for God in me, which is the opposite of hearing through your ears. So when you hear through your ears, you're probably not listening to the voice for God. When I listen to my ears, and I listen to what people are saying around me, and what I see on TV, and what I read, I'm seeing just the opposite of a voice that's speaking for unconditional love. So if I want to hear God's voice, I've got to realize it doesn't sound like anything I hear with my physical ears that's about weakness or attack or fear. So the only thing you hear through your physical senses are probably lies. It's a trip to be able to say to a person, you lied to me, and you're totally right. You lied to me every time you tell me something or treat me any kind of way other than lovingly. You lied to me. You tell me that I'm anything other than the Holy Son of God. You tell me I'm anything other than strength and peace and power and love and goodness and spirit. You tell me anything other than that, then you're lying to me. We lie to each other all the time and then wonder why we're mad. Now my ego says get into feeling guilty about that or get angry about that or beat yourself up about that. The truth says to me, now Earl, this paragraph is about teaching you the difference between when you're listening to the truth in you and when you're listening to the part of you that's lying to you. That's what this paragraph is about. Don't even get off into that other stuff. Let me get this straight. Okay, how can I tell when I'm listening to the voice for God in me? Well, if you're listening, You're gonna feel strength, you're gonna feel unity, and you're going to feel love. What's your frustration? I open my eyes and I don't see those things. But I told you, Earl, you were not gonna see those things through your body's eyes. And that's what you think you're gonna wake up one morning and you're gonna open your eyes and there's not gonna be any kind of conflict anywhere in the world through your body's eyes. And the book is saying, no, it's your body's eyes that see that stuff. That if you really want to go beyond seeing that stuff, then you have to learn how to communicate with the part of you that is in contact with love and God. And it does not sound like anything you hear with your body. And you know that's true because that's your experience. That's how you know this is true. That's our experience. I bet you the most loving thoughts you hear, and you just tell me if I'm wrong, but I would bet you anything, the most loving thoughts you hear are probably the ones you give yourself. I bet you now you're at the point that you probably tell yourself the truth more than you hear other people saying it to you. Now tell, I mean, it might not be too very bad in here, but those who know what I'm talking about, would you raise your hand just to let me throw a few with what I'm saying? It's like when you walk out of this room, if you were to hear the thought, okay, the opposite of listening through my body is listening to love, that's probably going to be you telling yourself that. It's probably not going to be the people that you go and talk to the rest of the day that will say that to you. And so you are the source of the voice for God in yourself. You are the voice for the voice of love in yourself. You will get to the point on your spiritual path that you will know that the one way to guarantee that you hear loving thoughts all the time is to tell them to yourself. You're going to reach that point on the spiritual path. You're not going to be waiting for somebody else to say you're cute. You're not going to be waiting for somebody else to say they love you. Because you'll be listening to the voice for God. So you will be telling yourself the stuff that your body is not perceiving. Okay? Woo! So then the question comes up, well, how in the world do I finally hear God's voice? I keep on hearing this stuff in this book about I need to listen to my intuition and I need to listen to the truth. Well, how does it happen? Okay, the next part of the paragraph covers that little issue. Well, I didn't know you had been sending her my CDs over in Scotland. My God. So she's going to try to bring me to Scotland. Wow. So, see what some ways you're going to look like. All right. I'll be the only black dude in Scotland.
You'll
be rocking it around. You're one of them little villages.
And you'll be wearing a kilt.
That's right. That's what I'm looking forward to. Okay. But a kilt with a thong doesn't seem too comfortable, though. But I don't know. Okay, now. So here it comes. It says, God's voice seems distant and difficult to hear. True or false?
True.
Because your ego, and then people say, what is the ego? If you follow in the course, it always tells you what it means as it goes. You don't have to figure anything out. It says, God's voice seem distant and difficult to hear because the ego, which is the part of you that speaks for your little separated self, seems to be louder. The reason why love's voice seems so faint is because the voice of my fear is so strong. It's the loudest voice. My worries are the loudest voice. My anger is the loudest voice. So who can tell me now why it seems like they can't hear their guidance?
Fear's too big.
Thank you. It's loud. I love that term, loud. Yeah, I used to say my fear was big. Now I say my fear is loud. And it makes all the difference in the world. How do you feel? I got some loud fear today. My fear is really loud. My fear is so loud. There you go. How loud is it? It's so loud that God's voice seems distant and difficult for me to hear. So right now, the reason why I don't hear my guidance is because the thing that I'm afraid of is occupying my attention. The thing that has me upset is occupying my attention.
So that's the loudness.
That's the loudness. It's so loud that it has all my attention. It's the only thing I think that is. So I'm so busy focused on my loud worries or my loud fear that I don't hear the voice for God. Okay? Now, the truth is, this is actually reversed. The voice for God in you, the Holy Spirit, actually speaks with unmistakable clarity. an overwhelming appeal. Boy, that would be great if my guidance was unmistakably clear and my guidance had the biggest appeal to me, even more than my fear weary does. The truth would have the greatest appeal. He says, no one who doesn't choose to identify with the body could possibly be deaf to his messages of release and hope, nor could he fail to accept joyously the vision of Christ in glad exchange for his miserable picture of himself. Okay, here we go. This is another one, Course in Miracles statements. Then watch, I'm going to say this sentence. If you got the book, look at it with me, because I'm going to try to use some tips on how to read this book. He says, no one who does not choose to identify with the body could possibly be deaf to God's messages of release and hope. Boom, let me stop right there. If you were not identifying with being your physical body, you could hear your guidance. That's what that did. Anybody disagree with that's what that said? Mm-hmm. Said, no one who does not choose, if you choose not to identify with the body, you do hear your guidance. If you choose to identify with the body, you don't hear God's voice, and it sounds distant and difficult to hear. So now I know why it looks like I don't hear my guides. I think I am Earl Purdy, body, black man. And he said, well, if you think that you are your body, then you are using your body's ears and your body's senses, which he's already told you, sees vulnerability, which we do. The Course answers every question I ever ask, but I can always see it when it's saying it, and that's why my ego doesn't like it. Because everything it says, if you wanted to, you could accept as truth the minute you hear it. Because it's the truth. I don't hear my guidance as much as I think I should. If I did, I'd be happier. Obviously. But I have to admit also that when I open my eyes, I see things that can make me afraid and make me weary. Which it says. But I also think I'm a man named Earl Purdy. And that is why I can't hear the truth. I'm so identified with my body that the truth sounds ridiculous. Unlimited. I create my own reality. I live forever. I'm total love. I identify with my body. And since I identify with my body and my bodily experiences, that does not seem to be true, which you just said. You won't hear the truth if you think you're just a woman or a man only. So are you a woman trying to be spiritual? Are you a man trying to be spiritual? Well, if you are, then you still see weakness.
What about if I'm a spiritual being with a body and a mind?
Then you will hear the voice with overwhelming appeal and unmistakable clarity. If you get in touch with you, if, and then people say to me, well, how can I not see myself as a body? And so the ego makes that like this hard task. How can I not see myself as a woman? How can I not? And the Course in Miracles answers that by saying, it's not about you trying not to see yourself as a body. It's about you being willing to see yourself as innocent. That if you're willing to see yourself as innocent, it will take care of that part about not seeing yourself as a body. So don't concentrate on not seeing yourself as a body. Concentrate on seeing yourself as innocent and seeing the body as sinless. And if you knew who you really were, you would gladly exchange the miserable picture you have of yourself for the joyous vision of Christ. In other words, I'd be glad to see myself the way Spirit is trying to get me to see myself, to the point I'll be glad to give over Earl Purdy's limited perception of who he thinks he is. You know, I'm glad to let go of this miserable picture of myself that I think could be afraid, that I think a hurricane could hit and then I'm dead. I really would like to let go of this miserable picture of myself. Course in Miracles is a higher teaching. It is a much higher teaching than anything I've ever seen before. It's a teaching that talks to us as if we are not human beings. And I love it for that.
As if, but we're not.
But we don't realize that yet. Or you would see only strength, only unity, and only love.
Earl, how do I look at the hurricane and victims in love?
You look at the hurricane victims through the voice and the perception of the Holy Spirit, which would be a vision of them that was only recognizing their true spiritual identity, remembering that they are not their bodies. And you would also ask if there's anything that you were supposed to do at the level of the body to extend love. But if you're not going to go down in Mississippi and help pull somebody out of the house, you're not doing them a bit of good by seeing them as victims. They're already in the attic trying to get out in a flood, and then all I'm going to do is see them in danger. I need to see them as being safe and saved. They need me to see them as saved, which is a whole different take on that word. Are you saved? You know,
I just want to say something, because I shared with some people. I'm going down to the Red Cross to answer the phone on the phone call. And I really have to admire the way the Red Cross actually encourages you to let people find their own way. Don't put them in the victim mode. Help them find their own way.
That's beautiful to hear.
It's really beautiful.
That's beautiful to hear. See, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Now, check this out. To see a person that way, wouldn't you have to be seeing them beyond the way your body's eyes see? See, the course is true. It's like if your body is in the house struggling, but I'm focusing on you being safe, then I am looking at you from another level beyond the body. And that's the level that creates the form. See, we don't realize that the physical form is coming from a thought or an idea. So since my physical form is coming from a thought or idea, the most powerful thing I can do is focus on a new thought or idea, which is the idea of them being healed, the idea of them being saved, the idea of them. You see what I'm saying? I want to focus on the idea, not the result that they're already dealing with in form. Unless Holy Spirit tells me to go down to the Red Cross and do something in form. And if my voice for God tells me to do that, I will not see it as a sacrifice, and I'll be glad to serve. That's how you know. So in some situations, your body will be used even though it's an illusion. And in some situations, you won't get physically involved at all. And all of your support will be at the level of mind.
Whenever I talk to my friends, I have a problem. I tell them, don't let me be a victim. It's the worst thing you can do.
And the person that would be willing to support you in that would be those friends that you have who don't want to be seen as a victim themselves.
Yeah.
So you get a chance to find out which one of your friends want to be seen as a victim and which one of them likes the victim consciousness. By how they react to you saying, don't treat me like a victim. Some of them will point out how you are a victim and you shouldn't forget it. All right? And then some of them will go, okay, I'll support you in that. So then you immediately know which of your friends are the victim and which ones are taking responsibility. So the ones who side for the victim consciousness are also the ones who have the greatest propensity to blame and project. So you immediately know which one of your friends you're going to have to forgive and which one of your friends you won't. Yeah. Okay? See, it's that easy, but the ego doesn't want us to believe it's that easy. The ego wants us to complicate our relationships up. Okay, that was one paragraph. Any questions? Any sharing on that?
I have a question.
Okay.
On victimhood, I just had a conversation with a friend. She asked them for their support in the matter, and it didn't go too well. How do you separate not being a victim and asking for support?
How much innocence and peace you give people about however they react to you?
I did keep my peace pretty good.
Okay, then you're asking for support.
So that's support versus blame.
That's support versus blame. Blame versus taking responsibility is peace versus guilt. You know, some people say, I know I'm responsible for that. I know I'm responsible for that. Well, if you're saying it that way, you're blaming yourself. You're not taking responsibility. You're blaming yourself. If you take responsibility, you feel empowered. That's all you got to know. If I take responsibility, I feel empowered. If I'm blaming, then I'm going to feel guilty and angry. It'll be hard to tell the difference itself by how you feel.
Say again?
It's the way you tell the difference is how you feel.
Okay.
If I'm blaming, I feel like crap. If I'm taking responsibility, then I feel empowered. Boom. End of telling the difference between blame and responsibility. Because your ego will say, you're saying the words, I know I'm responsible for this. Cool. Because that is a reminder of the truth. So you didn't lose by saying it, even though you really didn't believe it. Okay? That's okay. But the truth is, you can tell by the way you feel whether you really took responsibility or whether you blamed. But it's good to tell yourself you're responsible even if you blame it, because it's still the truth. It's still helping you remember the truth so you can be empowered.
Yeah, and then the more you do that, the more you'll really know it.
Yeah, so you shift emotional responses. The more you say it, the more you're going to go from the anger of that realization to the empowerment of that realization. But it comes over saying and telling yourself the truth over and over again, regardless of your emotional reactions to the truth. You got to tell yourself the truth over and over again, regardless of your emotional responses to the truth, to change your feelings.
Now, I get confused for me when I take responsibility and feel guilty that my decision is something that may not appear loving to another person who's trying to control me.
Right. But the reason why you feel guilty is because you're not certain of the legitimacy and the beauty of your purpose. If you really knew in your heart why you were saying that to that person, and you knew in your heart it was for a very good reason, then you would not feel guilty about how they react to the truth that you share. If you're not sure of your purpose yourself and the rightness of your purpose, then you feel a little afraid after you've shared it. So the key to what you just said is, look, I see my little child getting ready to eat Comet. I'm going to snatch that can of Comet from my child, and I will not let my child eat the Comet, and I will feel great about that. I don't give a hoot how much my child screams and hollers because I took their pretty green can away from it. So the other person's reaction would not matter to you if you knew your purpose was right. And I so hope I remember any of this that I'm saying. Because you surely are for witnessing channeling. That's why I tape it. Please don't expect me to live up to everything you hear me say in this class. Please. God. Yeah, I'm telling you. It's like I'm learning just like you.
Sometimes I like to tell people the truth just because I'm right. And that's when, after I've shared, then I go, well, should I have said that? But I really like to be right. And I like to tell people, let people know that I know that I'm right. And that's not at all what you're talking about. That's the opposite of what you just said.
Yeah. It really is. And thank you for saying that.
We're all guilty of that.
And you're innocent.
And it would be great to think of it. You know, we all have that perception, which is actually different from we're all guilty of that. You see the difference? Oh, yeah, we all have that perception. See how there's no judgment on that? I don't like blah, 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 blah. Oh, we all have that perception. And I used to do the same thing. I said, oh, man, you know, that's, yep, you're right. I'm guilty about that, too. See the difference?
Yeah.
One of them, I'm punishing myself for having the perception. The other one, I'm just acknowledging I have that perception. Two, which makes both of us innocent immediately. You always feel more innocent doing anything with somebody that's doing the same thing you are. I don't care, even if it's something wrong. Two robbers feel more innocent with being with each other than a robber with the FBI. It's just that neither one of them going to feel good in each other's presence. But two robbers will feel good, two FBI agents will feel good. Even if it's guilt good. You know what I'm saying? That's what the course is saying. Innocence is always in unity. Innocence is always in being the same. Innocent. We're the same. We're all innocent. But we don't see it with our body's eyes. Because he said, you're right. Your body's eyes see what? Weakness, separation, and fear. So he just told you straight up. That's what your body... And you take some of the weakness, separation, and fear, and then you call that fun. So that you seem like you got some fun and some upset. That's when, woo! Wow! That's deep. That's deep. He said, where you know that's true is... The same thing you have fun with is the same thing you could go through pain with. And that's how you know it must be the same thing. Because if they were really different, I'd have a different experience. Woo! So if I can have love with you and I can have fear with you, then you must be the same thing. But I'm just... choosing to see you two different ways. Because you're the same, you're still you. So wherever you are, you must be that all the time. And it's just me that's changing the way that I want to see it. But it's really all the same thing. It's something that's temporary. It's something that doesn't last. Whether you like it, it's still temporary. Whether you don't like it, it's still temporary. And then the court says, and that's what you're going to see through the body's eyes. You're going to see things that are temporary. Whether you like it or don't. You still with me on that?
Mm-hmm.
Then it goes on to say, how would you like to have everything you see be used for the purpose of love, even though it's temporary? Yes, I would like to sign up for that. Anybody else want to sign up for that? Okay. Before we do the next paragraph, anybody else?
I've got a question that I've been thinking about since I started taking this class. I found out about this class from a friend of mine that my sister refers to as one of my icky friends. She gets 86'd from places. Somehow her personality makes people mad sometimes. And when she smiles, she gets these pretty dimples that makes her look like a little kid. And I love her, and she's my friend.
Mm-hmm.
I started studying the ideas and I resisted and kept studying, and it seems like I've had a few friendships in my life. She's moved, but I've just when you were talking about the comets thing, I had another gay friend that I love so much. It's the same thing that, I mean, sometimes I just feel like my innocent self around her, that I feel like we're sister friends and we're just little girls just being sweet together, and that we like to talk about God and things, and sometimes she'll just want to pick a fight with somebody, and sometimes it'll be me, sometimes it'll be somebody else, and I had to call MHC on her and have them come and pick her up from the house, and the police came, and she hasn't talked to me, and I'm thinking, okay, it was the same thing as I saw her about Pete Comet, and I told her, no, you're not going to eat this comet, I love you, you're my friend, and I'm calling the funny farm on you, you mm-hmm. need to stay in the White Hotel, sorry, mm-hmm. and she doesn't return my phone calls. We talked about it, and she said that I don't understand how bad I betrayed her. And, well, okay, the burning question is, I got another friend that...
What's the question?
Okay.
What's that?
Sometimes things mm-hmm. seem like they're dangerous, and mm-hmm. sometimes people seem like they're mm-hmm. not the person to spend time with mm-hmm. or to be in the same room with. Mm-hmm. And yet, there's this innocent exploration about cause and effect, mm-hmm. and that somehow I'm really attracted to that, about that exploration of, well, what's going to happen? I mean, what kind of choices are possible? And that I could get into trouble when I spend time around that, because the other people get scared and...
Mm-hmm. I hear you, but okay. Well, what's your question?
How do I keep listening to the Holy Spirit when other people around me are telling me this person's dangerous and you could get into big, big trouble talking to them even? Not how do I deal with other people who are scared for me. How do I listen to the part of myself that's scared for me, that I'm wasting my time talking to people, but at the same time appreciate the delight that even if this person keeps bugging me or spending my money or whatever, then
you have to forgive. Forgiveness is the only answer to any question that you can come up with about anything. You could give me like 30 different scenarios, and the answer would still be, you're going to have to forgive. Now, what does forgive mean? Well, forgive means that I need to learn how to look past my distorted perceptions of the situation to the truth. What does forgive mean? It means I have to learn how to have a correct perception of what's going on right now. And what's going on all the time is, it's another lesson that God would have you learn in love. It's always another opportunity for you to remember the truth. And your ego is going to present you with a million different reasons not to practice this, because it looks like you're putting someone else in danger. But the truth is, if your purpose is peace and your goal is peace and all you want is peace, then all you can do is the best you can do in that moment, coming from the most peaceful place you possibly can. And that's it. That's all you can do. You have to, from moment to moment, check in and choose for peace. You go, what's going to give me the most peace in this situation? What's going to give me the most peace in this moment? And that's what I'm going to do in this moment. And I can't tell you what could be happening in that moment, because it really doesn't matter what's happening in that moment. The only thing that matters is that you choose for peace in that moment. You know, like right now with your friend, you have to ask for peace right now in your perception of your friend, because on this spiritual path, you cannot, I repeat, you cannot see yourself as responsible for somebody else's reaction to you expressing yourself authentically in the moment. You have to give that one up. You have to give that one up. It's the same thing. If you were doing what you felt was right from your heart in that moment, as peacefully as you could, that's all you could do. And that's all you can do in any moment. You can never be responsible for somebody. And you have to make it perfectly okay for her never to call you again, never to visit you again, and never to do anything with you again until she wants to. Why? Because then she could be safely with you. But if you try to get her to be with you when she doesn't want to be with you, you're asking for attack. She's already loving you enough that since she's not seeing you correctly, she's staying away.
Wow.
That's the most loving thing a person who doesn't like you or misperceiving you can do, is stay away from you. Mm-hmm. Now, what's so cool about that is while she's away, there's a possibility that her perception could be healed enough to see you correctly in a way it could never be healed if she was seeing you through her body's eyes, which says you did something to her.
Okay, so I get to forgive myself for seeing her as an us?
You get to forgive yourself because you know your purpose was always peace. That's why you get to forgive yourself, because your purpose was not to hurt her. That's why you can forgive yourself. The only reason why you couldn't forgive yourself is you're not sure why you did that. If you wish, the same thing she said, if you're sure you're doing something out of love, and if you're sure you're taking the comment away and you know that's the right thing to take away, you will not feel guilt. I'm telling you. I don't care how many scenarios, and I don't mind y'all bringing up scenarios, but my answer's not going to change. It's every moment, every single moment you're innocent if you're coming from love. You can't, and then your mind will say, well, what about other people? What if the other person? That is not your business. You're not responsible for where somebody else's purpose is coming from. That's not your business. Your business is to be totally in integrity and in alignment with yourself about what your purpose is, and to not at all betray or compromise that purpose. That is our responsibility in every relationship. But the ego says, well, suppose the other person don't understand that, and the other person looking at it, and the other person, and the other person. Do you know what the other person is? Here you go. The other person is just an excuse for you not to do this.
Not to choose love?
Yeah, it's just another excuse not to practice the truth that you're hearing. It's just another reason not to be loving. It's the justification for not practicing the truth. So that's what it is. Every time I bring up anything that I'm trying to use to convince me that being loving somehow isn't the answer, is a trick that my ego is playing on me, because I don't want to do it. If I don't want to like you, then I'm not going to want to hear any truth that tells me to love you. I'm going to need a reason not to. But if you're certain, this is the only thing you can remember about this whole class today. If you are certain in your heart that your purpose is love, you will not feel guilt about the reaction of the person that you give to.
Errol, if we're not coming from love, then we still need to forgive ourselves.
If we are not coming from love, then we are still learning. So we're either expressing love or we're learning.
How is it loving, Earl, to have someone, if you're in a relationship that's destructive, how is it loving to leave that relationship? Or, I mean, what is the loving, I mean, that's the...
If the most loving thing you can do is show a person that attack will not get them what they want. Anybody that you teach that attack will get them what they want, that's unloving. If I stay in a relationship with you, and the more you attack me, the more I stay there so you can attack me, I am effectively teaching you that by attacking people, you get what you want.
Thank you.
And by attacking people, you get love. If that person attacked me, and every time they attacked me, I moved away, I would be teaching them that the more you attack me, the less you will receive what you want. And that's why I don't mind the questions, especially on Wednesday, because people fool themselves into thinking somehow or another the truth isn't practical, or that you can't apply this truth in your day-to-day reality. And that's not true at all. It's a matter of willingness. Because it really makes more sense.
Mm-hmm.
It really makes more sense. why in the world would I want to come? And I used to do it. I used to let people put guilt trips on me, and then when they made me feel guilty enough, then I'd give in to whatever it was they wanted me to do. I still will if the guilt is great enough. I'm sure some things that probably the guilt could still be great enough to make me want to sacrifice. I'm not going to ever say, I'm here. I'm still here, obviously. Okay? But the Course says a person never stops doing something because it's bad or good. People will not stop doing something because it's bad. You can forget it. It says, the Course says, the only reason why a person would stop doing something is because it didn't work. So if you are attacking me, and the more you attack me, the quieter I get, then you're going to get, at some point, after escalating probably to try the most attack you could get, see if you can get me to give in. So you're going to escalate. You're going to go ballistic. I'm not attacking enough. That's why they're not doing what I want. I'm not attacking enough. So at first it might come at you like a ballistic. When the person is used to manipulating you and all of a sudden you're beyond manipulation, their ego might go ballistic. Because it's trying to get you to give in like you used to. But if you don't, they will reach a point where they realize it doesn't work. They've got to go in the other direction.
You can invite them to do that.
But did you hear what I said at the beginning? That the first time you tried, what's likely to happen?
Escalate.
Because it's worked in the past on you. So I just must not be giving you a hard enough time. So I'm going to get even madder at you because you're not responding to my attack the way you used to. And then your spiritual power will come from realizing your purpose in not responding to that person is to free yourself.
Wow.
Okay, I'm going to stop here. Oh, I love it when I listen back to these classes. Oh, God, I'm so thankful. I forget. So I'd like to do something a little bit different with the love offering today. I'd like for you to take a few seconds just to focus on the idea of receiving. You receiving. The idea of you receiving. Just for a minute. Just the idea of you receiving. Holy Spirit, I want the correct perception of money. I want the correct perception of money. I want peace around money. I want the correct perception of money. I ask for the correct perception of money. I no longer want money to be an obstacle to my path and to my peace and to my purpose. I want the correct perception of money for all of us. So be it.